That's my view. So, Michelle, what's your view?
Agree. And not just because I work for you.
Hi, my name is Richard Middleton, and I'm the global head of what we call integrated portfolio management. So we're here today to talk about portfolio optimization, and I'm joined with two great friends, Demetrius and Michelle. Before we get into this, Michelle, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm sitting here in wonderfully cold Chicago. I've been in the portfolio strategy world a long time, and now I get the great joy of seeing what else we can do in terms of strategic analysis, given all the data that's out there today. And love to work with Richard and the global team.
And Demetrius, a little bit about you.
I'm leading the portfolio allocation strategy consulting practice for the international markets. Originally, I'm a trained architect and urban designer, but I was always passionate about strategy and built environment and location strategy.
Right. So we're here today to talk about portfolio optimization. So Michelle, in your own words, what actually is portfolio optimization?
I think quite simply, it's just moving the performance of your portfolio toward whatever targets you may have as an organization, which should change depending on what organization you're at. There's always a lot of common ones across different companies and across different industries, but they should always be very specific to what you as the organization are trying to achieve, whether that's growth or whether that's certain things that you've stated to the market for sustainability, et cetera. That in the simplest terms, is that movement from where you are today toward where your targets could be. And I would also say that sometimes it's transformative. You know, it's a huge impact in a short period of time across so many different sites. And sometimes it's bit by bit, project by project, transaction by transaction. And both of those can lead you toward a more optimal portfolio.
That's great. And Demetrius, I saw you nodding along to Michelle there. So what's your definition of portfolio optimization?
I think if you think historically, optimization was most of the times associated to cost. But the way I see it moving towards is that, kind of the broader, let's say, term of optimization, right? It could be optimization, let's say, from talent perspective, optimization from ESG perspective, from strategic perspective, or from operational perspective. So it's quite a broad term, and it really depends on, how we define the focus of the exercise.
So when we bring that back, let's talk about what our clients are really looking for. When they come to us and say, we like to think about our portfolio, what are they actually really asking us?
Yeah, so what is interesting is we run every couple of years a global survey in partnership with Cornet, which we call the What Occupier Wants. And we ask more than 180 corporate real estate decision makers on how they are thinking about the portfolio. What we've seen over the last few years is that some of the key, let's say, considerations of the real estate decision makers around cost, talent, and ESG. So when they come to us in terms of the portfolio, they're looking to see how we can help them transform or optimize their portfolio, addressing some of their cost considerations, some of the talent considerations, as well as some of the ESG considerations.
But I mean, it would seem to me that things have changed in how clients are thinking about portfolios. And we're now talking about cost, carbon, culture. We like to bring that into everything we're talking about. So what are the biggest changes, Michelle, come to you? What are the biggest changes that we've seen in our own approach when we talk about portfolio optimization that really starts to address these particular themes?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Demetrius mentioned that it's moving away, and as you just mentioned too, away from just cost. Although, let's be honest, that's always going to be there, right? Savings is never going to go completely away where you can find savings in the portfolio. But one of the biggest challenges is, how do I weave this all together? Now, there's so many different things that we could be thinking about, so many different, whether it's opportunity levers, whether it's certain data that we can bring. How do we bring it all together in an integrated way that still gives us the top opportunities within the portfolio while not ignoring so many of other angles that truly will make you optimal, as we talked about just a moment ago, right? What truly makes your portfolio optimal? And that is a challenge because there's, you know, it's not going to be as easy, especially globally, across the world. How do you make that consistent? How do you do that in a way that's doesn't kill the team in terms of manual labor and looking at it, things, eyeballing things? And that's it is a challenge, and that's something we are always happy to help with. And it's different for every client.
So Demetrius, Michelle's just touched on global and globally there. So when we talk about portfolio optimization, are we always talking about a global approach to this, or can it be regional? Can it be local market? What do we mean by this?
Yeah, it can be at any type of, let's say, geographic scope. Yes, we can be looking at it globally. We can be looking at it regionally or even locally. What we see coming more and more is that with, I would say, the new ways of working that disrupt the way that even the businesses are operating, we see that real estate comes actually at the top of the C-suite agenda, which means that actually real estate can be the real catalyst for the overall business strategy. That means that I would say that we see more and more global projects at the portfolio strategy, where we actually need to look holistically how we can make sure that the portfolio not only aligns with the business strategy, but I would say even drives the business strategy, considering that when we talk about new ways of working, everything actually comes down into how you actually are setting up your real estate portfolio. So it's really, really interesting times for us.
But surely when you think about this from a global perspective, that's really hard to do. It's very difficult to get relevant, consistent data. So how do we actually do that?
Absolutely. And I would say, especially when we look at the labor and talent data, as probably we all know, is there is no one source of data that provides consistent data globally. Unfortunately, we don't have that. I don't know if at some point it will happen in the future. So what we have to do is we have to use multiple data sources. There are markets that they are not very transparent in terms of the data transparent in terms of the data availability. So we have to actually do a lot of data normalization and run a lot of proxies to ensure that we will be able to compare apples to apples, right? So we can compare labor data from a market, let's say, in Latin America or in North America to another market in EMEA or APAC, because at the end of the day, the decisions that will be taking place at the global level in terms of where, for example, a big corporate would like to have like a specific center of excellence, which will be the location globally. So yes, to deal with that, we run a lot of data analytics. We're also leveraging AI in order to be able to normalize the data and make them comparable across the locations.
So one thing around data, how important is it for us to ensure that we're engaged with clients and clients are transparent with us with the data they have?
It is one of the most important elements because, of course, we use a lot of external market data to run the external market analysis. For example, when we do like the talent or the, mark to market. But then also we need the internal client data because this is when we can start actually looking at the performance of the portfolio and then measuring it against what is the kind of market best practices, right? So we need both of these data sets to make sure that we have the right analysis.
A lot of good themes there. But Michelle, I'm going to come to you. When you think about data, what do you think are the most critical data points that every client of ours must be thinking about?
There's always going to be the foundational data, right? We've been talking about it for years and we still will, related to your supply and how you're using the space. Things that Demetrius just mentioned too, the different ways that we're using the space in terms of how we're working and the different behaviors that we're seeing and want to enforce or encourage within our office spaces especially. But I do get excited about what else we can layer in. There's, if you think about the business, they don't care about, square feet per seat, right? But they don't talk in the terms that we do. And so when we're trying to really get our stakeholders internally to buy into whatever change we're trying to make, whether it's transformative or, at the site level, talk about things in a way that makes sense to them, that resonates with them. And a lot of it does come back down to, things that they're experiencing, whether in their hiring or the talent or how they're, hitting against competitors, et cetera. And those are the data points that we certainly would like to bring in. And that, while there's data inconsistencies across the globe, as Demetrius just mentioned, We certainly can do a number of different ways to try to triangulate what those might be. And then, of course, on top of so many companies' minds, is related to ESG type of topics as well. And so we actually have a client right now who's come to us saying, you know, we're looking to relocate and we want to know what the carbon neutral buildings that might be available in such and such markets, right? That's definitely a piece that's being brought in more specifically, like that type of question, but also more holistically in terms of when you're looking at the portfolio and what opportunity there might be. So it doesn't mean that's an easy answer. It doesn't mean that we can snap our fingers and we have the data, although maybe we all dream that maybe that will be the case someday. It sometimes requires a lot of research and work, but it's definitely something that clients should be thinking about beyond just butts in seats and where we can reduce our current rent because we're above market. Those are foundational things. They're never going away, but there's so much more that we can think about and do.
So Demetrius, I mean, we're all talking a lot about ESG. In my opinion, a lot of the analysis to do, there's a lot of focus around the E piece, but rather less on the S. Just talk through from your own experiences how you're helping to bring a bit more focus around the S into portfolio strategy.
You know, with the S, the social part of the ESG, what we see more and more is, especially on the location strategy, assessing the portfolios from more like the social impacts. For example, we could actually look at certain level of economic development in specific markets and see that if an occupier invests in a specific location, that would be the overall impact in the local economy. So elements like that actually are overlaid on the assessments we run in terms of the optimal portfolio strategy. So that's you know, one part of, let's say, the social aspect. The other part also has to do with the hybrid working. We see that occupiers actually, they are understanding that, you know, through hybrid working, actually, they can address some of the social elements in the ESG. For example, in terms of the flexibility that is given to the employees in terms of where and when to work, that actually increase the diversity and opens up the, let's say, the talent pool to kind of broader areas. Final point is around the global recruitment strategies. We see that more and more companies now with a hybrid working, actually, they are recruiting at a global level. Again, that address the S part of the ESG, because they are reaching out to locations that in the past they wouldn't be able to reach. Again, increasing the diversity of the talent pool that they are actually capturing.
And how many of our clients are we seeing are really embracing, bringing that whole talent agenda into thinking differently around their portfolios?
I would say all of them. I mean, maybe majority, just to be to be 100% sure, but I would say pretty much all of them, because, and of course, I'm a little bit biased because the work I'm doing is around location strategy, but I would say in all of the assessments we're doing, talent has actually the largest, the highest weighting in terms of the criteria when we develop the balanced scorecards, right? So talent is very important. And if we think about the macro trends at the moment in terms of the digital transformation and the disruption that takes place, that means that we have evolving requirements in terms of the skill sets, and means that the companies, they need to keep up with these evolving requirements. That means that the companies need to make sure that they are actually targeting the right people that will drive the future of the business. And hence, you need to actually have a portfolio strategy that taps into these right skill sets. So I would say is probably one of the, you know, most important elements in terms of the portfolio strategy. Talent is one of the most important elements.
So Michelle, let's pick up on the E. Talk me through how we're bringing climate change risk into advice around portfolio optimization and things that we do around the world.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting. So we've partnered with a company called Jupiter, where we are getting physical climate risk from a number of different perils. And I'm not a sustainability expert, so that's about as far as I'm going to go. But we are weaving that into how we analyze portfolios. And of course, given the very specific location and what that risk might be, it is specific to, you know, the latitude and longitude of that site, as opposed to just a generic, you know, in generally in this country or generally in this metro or whatever. And we can do it from, you know, all kinds of angles. You can think about it globally from the portfolio level. We actually have a client who's using it for every single decision that they're making before they do a project or before they do a transaction, weighing the risk. And also the part of it is also the future potential risk of that location before they actually move forward with the funding and actual execution of the work. So you were seeing it come through, not only just from an evaluation, but also from a decision-making standpoint, which is, I think, is pretty exciting that we're finally seeing that come to life.
How would portfolio optimization differ if we're dealing with a retail portfolio, for example, as opposed to an office portfolio?
Well, the drivers behind why you're in the locations you are very different. You know, in an office portfolio, you're going to be thinking about your employees that are there and your, the office environment itself and, you know, amenities and that type of thing, potentially. For retail, it's a lot about who you're interacting with, your client facing. So where are your clients? What are the demographics, psychographics that you're trying to hit? What are the things, elements that should be coming into play? We have one client that we're working with now where crime is a very big deal to them. And so we're evaluating that and how that might differ within the metros. So there's a lot of different things along on that spectrum that to optimize where your footprint should be and what is going to have the biggest impact ultimately on your business performance, as opposed to, you know, worker productivity, if you will, but actually how much money you might be making at that particular site, you know, is a big deal. So it's same kind of thought process in the end, but very different inputs and different analysis as a result.
Demetrius, we talked at the beginning around how different clients may have different needs or different desired outcomes when it comes to portfolio optimization. Talk me through a couple of examples of the different types of projects that you've been doing for clients in this area.
They vary quite a lot, and that's what makes our job very exciting. So from looking at which is the best country to set up a production facility for COVID vaccines within Africa, for example, to identifying which are the emerging and tech hubs at the global level, all the way to looking at markets such as Latin America, EMEA and APAC in terms of talent as well as ESG perspective. So I would say quite a broad range. So I mentioned already a couple of examples. One of the example we were working was, as I said at the beginning, advising one of the top farmers on where is best to locate their production facility of COVID within Africa. And we looked there from a lot of different perspectives, right? So from political, economic stability, the whole supply chain network, the infrastructure, as well as the talent and the costs. Very, very different from, let's say, the request that we were working for a big tech, that they ask us around the world, anywhere in the world, where are the emerging and established tech hubs? That's where we looked at actually, which are the markets that, they have the best quality of tech talent for specific skill sets from, let's say, cloud engineers to AI engineers, but also which are the markets that are next? Like what's next? What is upcoming? Which is also interesting to see. Utilizing a lot of, indicators to forecast which are the markets, from market saturation, occupier activity, competitor activity, as well as things such as attrition rate and FDI, foreign direct investment activity. So you can see like very, very different, kind of ways of looking at the portfolio strategy from different sectors as well.
What do you think is today the greatest challenge that our clients are really facing?
Coming up again and again is around disposals, actually, is one of the biggest challenges that our clients are facing. You know, they've reevaluated their portfolio. They were actually moving forward on some decisions. There's a lot of hesitancy in the last few years. What are our peers doing? What are others doing? Should we actually make our move, et cetera? And they are now making those decisions and changes. And a lot of the markets, are pretty saturated with whether subleases or what have you. And that's not going to be the answer forever. Certainly not. But right now, the biggest challenge today, it has come up quite a few different companies. You know, if we have a challenged asset or just simply the market that they're in, how do we dispose of the property and how can we get more creative in finding tenants or for this asset that we no longer need to use?
I mean, if we think about it, it is a very exciting time. There are so many changes that take place at the moment, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the ways we work, the ways we live. This will have a massive impact on how companies are operating, right? And how we live as well. So we talk about hybrid working. There is a lot of discussion about AI and how this will change in terms of how we deliver work. There's a lot of talk around the metaverse and all of this. So I think there is a lot of uncertainty in terms of where we're going to be in the next 10 years. Everything has been accelerated. The trends that we have been seeing over the last 10 years, they basically accelerated. Like with a pandemic from 2020, we actually went to 2030 in terms of the kind of evolution of these trends. And I think there is a lot of challenges from our clients to see what should be their direction in terms of the portfolio. You know, how much space they need to have, how they should operate, how they should, you know, run the kind of the whole portfolio. But at the same time, this is a massive opportunity as well, right? Because for those companies that they can think a little bit, I would say a bit more like, you know, provocative and let's say future thinking, they could really be ahead of the game. And we see that with our clients. There are some, it depends on, you know, where they are in terms of kind of their maturity and their evolution. There are some clients that are already thinking about, you know, the next 10 years. There are some other clients that actually they're waiting for more data before they take any decisions. And I think this is that balance. You will never have enough data. Things are continuously changing. You need to act. You can't just wait. And I think that's where I believe there is, you know, the opportunity for the occupiers, that there is a massive opportunity now to really move ahead of the game in terms of what's, you know, what will happen. We don't know what will be the future, but the future will be exciting with all of these things that we're seeing happening at the moment.
Could not agree with you more, Dimitris. Yes, you have to act. No decision is a decision, right?
Yeah. Michelle, I'm just going to come back to you just on the disposition themes that you developed. How are we helping clients with rethinking the portfolios they have? How are we thinking about buildings that are fit for repurposing or reprioritizing, whatever it might be, as part of that portfolio strategy?
It doesn't always have to be what critical dates do we have coming up next, right? What expiration do we have that we can leverage in order to get out? And I think there is a lot to be said about how we were better using the space. And it goes right back to Dimitris and what he was saying about the surveys and how people are responding and how we're different ways of working, et cetera. Given where a particular asset is, say you're stuck with it. Let's just ignore the whole expiration, et cetera. Say you're stuck with it, you're not going to be able to get rid of it. How can you better use that particular space given the various angles or various pieces of your business? And there might be something specific to that location. And then also just from a more tactical standpoint, there's always, you know, the financial impacts of being able to, you know, mothball the space and write it off if you're going through some big restructuring, et cetera. So if you can't do anything in terms of repurposing it, you know, that might be something that you can think about from a financial perspective, at least, as opposed to actually physically disposing. You're not stuck, I guess, is my point, if you don't have an expiration coming up.
So I think we're getting to my final question. How important do you think portfolio optimization is within what we call integrated portfolio management?
Critical. Is there any other answer? I mean, how can you be a proper manager of your portfolio if you aren't thinking strategically about it? I mean, I'm totally biased given my history and my background, but I passionately believe that there is no management.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Richard, do you disagree?
I deliberately held that one back because I wanted to get it in your own words, and that's absolutely perfect. You know, I'm passionate about this as well. But from my perspective, portfolio optimization sits at the very heart of all things integrated portfolio management, which is the service line I run around the world. For me, portfolio optimization is around how we're thinking about driving proactivity into everything we do every step of the way. And it's the foundation of everything that we want to talk about.
At the end of the day, it's what you're trying to achieve in terms of portfolio performance, and that hopefully your portfolio performance is very much in sync with what you want to achieve as an organization from the very top, what you're telling your stakeholders, what you're telling the street, what you're trying to achieve. And optimization is simply that movement from where you are today to achieving those targets.
And just so we're really clear, right, this is all about looking forward to the future, not looking at the now or the past, right? That's what portfolio optimization, it's all around what's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years. That's what's critical to making this successful. Okay, guys, thank you both very much for joining me today to talk about portfolio optimization. I think we all know that we could have carried on for a lot longer. We could talk about this all day because we're all so passionate about it. But it's been a great conversation. And we are your team around the table.